Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Welcome to episode number 4 and the conclusion of our Stand Firm message series as we've been digging into this tiny but passionate little book of 2 Peter, which has been so great. Last month we were in 1 Peter with our Roar series, which was so fantastic. But now we kind of touch on the final two chapters of the book of 2 Peter together as we look at this aging apostle as he kind of takes time to communicate what really is his last words. And if you know anything about how people have lived their lives and when they come to the end of their lives, the words that they speak in those final moments are usually not how's the weather or small talk. Usually people in the final stages of their lives are speaking words of substance, speaking words that need to be or hopefully will be remembered. And that's exactly what Peter is doing in this letter. Peter wants his final encouragement to serve as a memorial of his teaching for future generations, for you and I, even to this day. So it's a powerful, powerful little book. A big hello to everyone joining us online or on site. You're all very welcome here at Calvary today. And if you're visiting with us for the first time, a special welcome to you. We're glad that you've taken the time to join us. And if you're here for the first time, make sure that you connect with one of our online hosts, if you're watching the service today, watching our broadcast online, or connect with one of our hosts in the foyer at our Next Steps area. We would love to talk to you and connect with you personally and send you a free gift. So don't miss that. You want to be a part of that. But before I jump into today's message, I want to mention something to you that's coming up next month that we're very excited about, something that all of us can prayerfully be a part of. You know, our annual vision offering this year is coming up on Sunday, November the 8th. And can I encourage you to pray, to prepare yourselves, and to participate on that miracle day of giving? You know, this is an opportunity for us as a church to come together, to give sacrificially above our tithes and offerings, and to be a part of a miracle day of generosity, which really allows us to take another giant leap forward in the mission that God has called us to. So I want to encourage you to be praying about that and believing. And you know what? If you're believing for something significant in your own life, in your own family, then I want to agree with you that as you sow a seed, that God would do not only a miracle in our house, but that he would do a miracle in yours. Okay. Grab your Bible, if you would, whatever form that you read it in, and let's revisit the book of 2 Peter together in a message that I'm calling, Are You Still Watching? Are you still watching? Now, here in chapter 2, we talked about chapter 1 a little bit last week and touched upon some of those truths. Peter kind of starts this chapter with this sense of urgency. He wants to communicate to the church that as they hear those that are teaching the gospel, that there's also wolves among the sheep, that there are some false prophets, there's some false teachers who value their agenda more than the agenda of the kingdom. And what's incredible is that the conditions of the day are no different than the day that we're living in today. Because even today, there are those that would use the word of God for their own gain. And so he was warning them. He was saying, you need to be aware of these people that are among you. And so that's how he starts chapter 2. And we're going to start by reading in verses 18 and go through to the next verse in 19. It says, for they mouth empty, boastful words, these false teachers, these false prophets, by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error, and they promise them freedom. You remember last week we talked about the promises of God and how they lead to freedom, how some of those promises started way back when in Egypt to the Israelites who were brought out of slavery, but even after they came out of slavery, some of them were still in bondage in their hearts. And so Peter is saying that these people will promise you freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. So he's urgently warning them, be aware, watch out for these people. Now let's look at chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 10 and then jump down to verse 13 and 14. It says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. So he was trying to communicate to us that God's timetable looks very different than ours. And he was communicating that through using these comparisons. And then it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. Sometimes we feel, you know, it's taking a long time or it's not going to happen. But when we understand that God's timing has more to do with the fulfillment of his purpose in our life than it does with just getting it done, then we understand that that timing is there for a purpose. So the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. See, time in the way that we view it today is very different in light of eternity. It says, he's not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand that period of time. Instead, he is patient with you. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that God is patient and has been patient with me, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, now listen, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Talking about the end of days when Christ returns. Now I believe this has less to do with the believer, with the Christ follower who is prepared, who is watching, and it has more to do with a warning to those who are not prepared. But in keeping with his promises, as we jump down to the next verse, it says, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, we're in verse 14 now, make every effort. We need to make every effort in our lives to continue in the development of our faith. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. You know, during the pandemic days that we're weathering over the last 7 months, I think more and more people have watched more Netflix than they ever did in their lives. And a couple of weeks ago, Susan and I were watching an old classic sitcom that we enjoy, little 30-minute episodes. And we were going to watch a third one. And just as we were about to watch the third one, because we were just kind of letting it flow from one to the next one, up came this interruption on the screen. The screen freezed, and it said, are you still watching? Now, obviously, this is designed to help you, I suppose, that if you fell asleep or maybe you weren't paying attention, that instead of letting it autoplay and losing your spot so the next time you tune in, you can pick up where you left off, it asks you, are you still watching? Now, for us, when we're watching it, we're hearing a tone. I'm feeling like my TV is giving me some attitude. Like, are you still watching? Come on, man. Are you that pathetic that you're still watching television? I felt like saying, yes, Netflix, I am. It's none of your business. Just keep playing. Are you still watching? You know, it's important to understand that Peter was still watching. He was watching for Christ. He was watching for his return. He was watching for the things in his life that caused him to endure whatever he faced to keep moving forward. And his great passion was to speak with clarity that his life would proclaim the truth and the power of the gospel. In this moment, this aged man nearing his death, he was getting ready for an incredible punishment. Something that he probably couldn't get his head around or knew what would come. He'd eventually be taken to a place in Rome and crucified upside down for his beliefs. So extreme. but he wants the people of the day. He wants you and I to know the gospel. In his final days, his final words are focused on speaking that truth, those promises. He wants each of us to face and endure whatever hardship, whatever difficulty may come our way, to keep our focus on the promises of God, to continue watching to the end, to look forward to anchoring his faith into the promise of his someday return, which each of us need to be challenged in our lives to know that there's more than this. There's more than what we are facing, that we need to continue watching. We need to continue looking. So that's my question to you today. Are you still watching? Even in the midst of difficult times, is your focus on the crisis? Or is your focus on the promises of God in your life? Because what seems to be a never-ending bad dream that we just can't seem to wake up from will end. It will come to a close at some point. As a matter of fact, it's been hundreds of years, and that question has been asked many times over again. Will this ever end? When will this end? People have faced persecution. They've faced sickness and disease and pandemics. They face world wars, racism, slavery. All of these things are part of the globe's history, and people have been asking that question, will this ever end? Well, the answer is yes. Because honestly, everything is in a constant state of ending and deterioration. Everything from our own existence to the world we live in, right down to its molecular level, is coming to an end. It's only a matter of time. All of this someday will pass. But as we looked last week in 2 Peter chapter 1, it's his good and precious promises in our lives that will produce the endurance we need to get through it, whatever we might face. Because once we face this and we weather the storm and get through it, there will be other things that we face in our lives. So are you still watching? Are you watching for his deliverance in your life from depression, from sickness, from a broken marriage? Are you still watching and expecting God to do the impossible in your life as he has promised you? See, that's what the author of this letter was trying to get us to see, to look beyond the fog, to look beyond the crisis, and to see what was beyond it, to see something that goes past the things that tend to feed our fear and our doubt. Because when we fill our minds with that, suddenly there's no room left for believing God. We find ourselves coming up short. So Peter's challenge, even during a time of crisis, is to keep the first thing the first thing. And what is that? That's the gospel. Let's keep the gospel at the front of everything that we do. That's why we as a church, the flag we fly is the Jesus flag. We want to see people come to experience the hope of Jesus Christ, to take the gospel to the ends of the world. But listen, you can't share the gospel unless you understand the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 4, and then we'll jump down to verse 24. Paul says, "For what I received," he's talking about the gospel, "I passed on to you as of first importance." He's talking about the priority of the gospel. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So Paul's referring to the promises of the Old Testament, because the New Testament fulfills the promises of the Old. That's why we need the balance of both. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried according to those same promises, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And then in verse 5 through 8, Paul talks about how Christ appeared to Cephas, to the 12, to more than 500 people, to James, and then to even himself. And then it says this, as we jump down to verse 24, "Then the end will come. The end will come at some point, someday. But the end will also come to the things that you're facing today, the things that we in this world are facing today. And we need to keep watching beyond those things because the end will come. When he hands, the Bible says, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, all authority, and all power, we need to be continually excited in our hearts that he's coming back someday. We need to be reminded of that fact. Because when we do, when we keep our focus where it needs to be, it produces an endurance in our lives. So Peter's last words to the church, to you and I, were to keep first things first. To keep the gospel at the forefront of everything that we do. To beware, as 2 Peter 2:19 tells us, of those promising freedom, but being slaves themselves. It's like the blind leading the blind. But he's asking them in that day, as he's asking you, are you still watching? Are you still focused on him at the end of everything? You know, one of my first jobs in my early teens was mowing my grandparents' lawns. I didn't say lawn, I said lawns, plural. They had four different lawns, which was overwhelming for me in that day because they seemed like football fields, four of them. And so on a hot day, it was like, will this thing ever end? Am I ever going to get to the end of this job? And so as I kind of struck out, the only thing I could really look forward to was my Nana would always make me some cold chocolate milk. You remember the Nestle's Quick stuff? You know, you take out and you scoop in the chocolate and the cold white milk would turn to chocolate milk. I was looking forward to that the whole day, pushing through to get this done. You know, interestingly enough, last year we got home to be with our family over Thanksgiving, and my dad and I went for a drive to the old neighborhoods to look at our old houses where I grew up. And we stopped by my grandparents' house, and I saw these lawns that in my mind were just insanely massive. You know what? Not so massive. Not even half a football field, maybe a quarter of a football field. It was very small compared to what in the moment I was experiencing. You know, I believe there's a day coming when we will look back on this time in history and we will not look back at it overwhelmed. We will look back at it with a new perspective because we will have developed. Our faith will have grown stronger. But you know what? I remember in those days taking great pride in how I mowed that lawn. I wanted to have, if you ever mowed a lawn, you understand what I'm saying. I wanted those lines. You know what I'm saying? I wanted the straight lines so that you do it on a diagonal, you got this incredible visual at the end of it all. That was something to, kind of a little bit of a payoff. And so my grandmother used to come up and say, how do you get the lines so straight? But for me, what I always had to do if I wanted those lines to be perfectly straight in the lawn is I would have to find a tree or a large rock to fix my focus on. And to be honest, it wasn't hard at all because I would just lock onto that point and I would continue to mow towards it. You know, when we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and his return, it keeps our path in this lifetime straight and it produces endurance. We start to see our progress. We start to see that we're gaining ground, that we're moving forward. Peter was still watching for the end that he was promised, which allowed him to endure an insane amount of suffering, something that all of us could never even imagine. And yet that endurance was built within him. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So Hebrews is talking about what we need to be watching, what we need to be fixing our focus upon. And then it shifts and it talks about the focus of Jesus. What was Jesus watching in the most incredibly difficult hour of his life? The Bible says in Hebrews, for the joy set before him, that was you and me, That was our salvation. He endured the cross, scorning its shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was still watching. Not watching the moment of the day and being overwhelmed in the moment. He was watching for what would come after the cross, allowing him to endure horrible pain, ridicule, suffering. It allowed him to endure all of it. You know what? When we were watching Netflix, the only thing I could do to unfreeze the screen and continue watching my program was to intentionally make a decision to click on the button that said, continue watching. Some of us need to be intentional about making that decision, about continuing to watch Christ through these difficult times, to keep our focus where it needs to be. You know, maybe the progression of your faith was put on hold when the world locked down, and you stopped watching Jesus and his ability to see you through difficult times. Maybe you allowed yourself to start watching the things that filled your life with fear, with heaviness. Maybe you stopped gathering with your church family. Maybe at first in person in the building, and then eventually you started watching online, and then maybe you got busy and you're not doing that maybe as much as you used to do. And maybe God is calling you to see the significance of those relationships in the family of God, how much they mean to your life, how much they mean to the development of your faith. Maybe it's time to continue watching Jesus, to continue to see what he's doing right now in the world and in our lives and in our church, to begin to regather and trust his promises, to begin to know that what he's promised us now will see us through until the end. Peter tells us in chapter 3 that he's not slow in keeping his promises and that he's patient with us. I love that because it gives me hope, because sometimes we're not very patient with ourselves, and yet he forever is. Edgar J. Mohan once said, "A lie has speed, but truth has endurance." You know what? Shake off the lies and cling to his truth. Standing firm in the truth allows us to maintain our focus on what matters most, to continue watching what's to come, to continue looking beyond the situation to the promises of God's deliverance, producing the endurance in our lives that we need to finish the race strong. 2 Peter 1, 5-7 says, "In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance." That's that ability to keep watching, to keep looking ahead, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. And Peter tells us in verse 10 that if we practice all these wonderful qualities and stand firm, then we will never stumble. We will not fall. And if we fail to diligently endure, then we will stumble. We will fall. You know, the word endurance here comes from a compound Greek word, hupo, which means under, and meno, which means to remain. So literally, it means endurance under pressure, under testings, or under trials. So if we learn to stick with it, to keep watching, to keep our focus on Christ during troubles, during trials, during discouraging moments in our lives, that three wonderful results take place. The first one is this: endurance brings joy. Now, James sees it this way, and I got to be honest with you, I'm still working on this one. It's not something that I've come to master yet, But James 1, verse 2 says, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Oh, yee-hoo! Like, that's not easy. What's the first thing that comes through your mind when you blow a tire, when your engine hits red and furnace blows up, or you got a leak in your roof, or something happens with your job and the security and the things that you hold on to? I don't know if all of us quickly default to, this is a moment for great joy. And yet James is talking about a joy that is able to look beyond that obstacle, whatever it may be, and see an opportunity to allow Christ to form his character within your life. This is something that we're in school for each and every day. This can only be done by faith, watching beyond the things that are visible, looking to the invisible, to the spiritual things that are in God. Number two, endurance brings peace. You know, the book of Job powerfully demonstrates that a faithful man will stand firm and bear any form of trial or difficulty rather than turning on God. It's an incredible picture of what that looks like. And James 5, verse 11 says, we give great honor, or another translation says, blessing or favor, to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, or how the Lord gave him peace. For the Lord is filled with tenderness and mercy. Now, even though Job didn't understand the why of his suffering in the moment, he still endured in his faith, and he kept moving forward, watching to see what God would bring on the other side of what he was facing. And then finally, number three, endurance brings promise. I love this one. God is not interested in seeing you fail. He wants you to endure, to stand firm, to overcome, to continue watching for him until the end. James 1, verse 12 says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive, listen, the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. You know what? We need to know that there's no cross, there's no crown without a cross, and there can be no victory without endurance. So I encourage all of you to continue watching, seeing through the eyes of faith all that he's promised to you and your family, so that on the other side of whatever you're facing today, you will experience that life that God has promised. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the truth that Peter conveyed to us in the final hours of his life. I pray that we would be on guard against those who would speak the things that elevate themselves over God and teach the things that pull us away instead of pulling us closer to you. And I pray that we would always make the first things, that we would keep the gospel at the forefront of who we are and how we live, that you'd help us to look and to keep watching, to continue watching for you in the struggles we face in our marriage, in our thinking, in our health. And Lord, today I pray for those that maybe have never experienced the life-changing power of Jesus, that as we've spoken the gospel and made it clear today, that today you would have the opportunity to bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, I recognize that you died on a cross for me, that you were buried, you were raised from the dead, you were brought back to life so that you could forgive me of my sins and bring me back to life. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Fill me with the hope of heaven that I may be a signpost to direct others to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I trust that throughout this month that you've been encouraged to stand firm on the promises of God. Next week we start an all-new vision series called Regather. You're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be fantastic. So I pray that you'd be with us, that this week you'd look for ways to connect with your church family, that you'd look for ways to regather, obviously safely and doing everything you can to honor other people's safety, but let's look for ways to begin to come back together again and to be a strength to one another. Have a great week. Thank you for joining us again. God's best to each and every one of you.